Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people at Bustler, and everybody else in between along for the ride. The Monday night meltdown has begun. In the words of Paula Abdul, we take two steps forward, one step back as the National Football League takes a couple of steps forward, but a couple of steps back at the same time as the National Football League and the players come to an agreement as far as the corona testing is concerned. The players didn't want to play any preseason games. The owners wanted a couple of preseason games. The coaches wanted a couple of preseason games. Then they just wanted one game. The players didn't want any preseason games, and now we're not going to have any preseason games. Except you have to wonder, I mean, there's no, like, magic wand that they're just going to be able to wave, and then suddenly they're going to be able to play for real. Things are starting to get interesting right now in the National Football League, but at least the testing issues have been rectified. There's going to be a lot of back and forth, man. It really is, and I guess we're going to have to quote Paula Abdul. Very good song, actually, isn't it? What is it, Opposites Attract? Maybe we should play it a little bit later on. Or maybe not. Maybe Paula Abdul is going to sue us, actually. She probably needs the money. So she'd probably sue us. And speaking of needing the money, if Kanye West keeps on melting down on Twitter the way that he is tonight, he's going to need a lot of money because he's going to get sued by a lot of different people. Kanye's going off, but I'd say his presidential campaign's off to a great start. He's off to a magnificent start. I got to tell you what. And I say this with all due respect as a white man, but if you're a brother, if you're a black dude, and like a Kardashian comes up to you, run like you're the first black dude in a horror movie, like you're like the only black dude, or like run fast, man. Like, does it end well for anybody? No, it doesn't. It doesn't end well for anybody. Like, if you go around, yeah, they might be hot and stuff like that, and you might, you know, you didn't need their money, you didn't need the attention. It's not going to end well. We'll tell you that much. All right, Jason Tackerfin's going to step up, and where the Toronto Blue Jays going to play. Drew Martin Betts going to join us from Las Vegas, Nevada. We've got baseball props, picks. We've got more picks than Karl Malone and John Stockton. We're jam-packed here this evening. Tackerfin, Drew Martin Betts, Sports Rage, late night. Bring it. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without Rage a Hole.
Sports Rage late night. I am Renzi. Vent your rage. 844-843-6879. I know the pipeline's already banging. People excited for the return of Major League Baseball. And I'm kind of kicking myself for leaving some of these preseason winners on the table. You know, I'm not above betting on preseason anything. I mean, I bet on a lot of crazy things. I bet on Vietnamese soccer at 4 a.m. So I'm not above betting on preseason baseball, but we've been in a soccer frame of mind over the last week and a half or so. And we had a good day on the pitch today. We banged off a couple of winners in the EPL. We got it done in the MLS tonight with a draw. We gave you guys the draw in tonight's game between Philadelphia and Orlando. And, you know, we expect crazy things to happen. And I know the MLS isn't a complete barometer and gauge of things to come in Major League Baseball. But there should be a team or two that's going to be a surprise. All right. And there could be a player or two that's going to be a big surprise as well. And, you know, we took a look at some of the awards and some of the props earlier in the day on Game Time Decisions, and we'll continue to do so this evening. I asked you guys on Twitter, at Sports Rage, if you want to fire off some of your best bets. What are your best bets, guys? You know, as far as teams are concerned, season win totals. Hey, listen, I'm open to good picks. If you got a good pick, share it. You know, fire it off in the chat, fire it off on Twitter, fire off a phone call if you're not too drunk. Which is a common theme. It is Monday, though, so I imagine people are more hungover than drunk right now. It's not Friday. It's only Monday. So it's not only Monday if you're Major League Baseball and you're the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays play their first home game on the July 29th. They don't know where they're going to play. And, you know, there's not exactly a ton of time to get this resolved right now. These guys are playing on Friday. They hit the road on Friday. You're putting the Blue Jays in a pretty tough situation. Blue Jay players basically stated they have two sets of bags. They have their home bags and they have their road bags. Like, they have a wardrobe for the road and then they have like their clothes for home. Yet they're like, we don't know where those home bags are going. And we'll get into this with Jason a little bit. Tack. Listen, our main man, Tack, and, you know, he's become a popular guest on this show. He's a great guy to have on tonight because Jason Tackerfin, he was a minor league general manager for like 7 or 8 years or so. So he spent a lot of time in minor league stadiums as well as big league stadiums. And the Toronto Blue Jays, the thought process was, and, you know, part of me was thinking, you know, they're being a little bit overly dramatic about how they need to be in a major league facility. Yet, it's not like they're being prima donnas and, you know, oh, we can't, you know, we're above playing in a minor league park. The problem is, minor league clubhouses cannot meet safety standards right now. And we'll get into this with Jason. Minor league clubhouses are not supposed to be nice. They're not supposed to be big. Like, minor league clubhouses, like, they're purposely not nice because you're not supposed to be there. Like, they don't want you getting, no one, you know what I mean? You're not supposed to get comfortable. They're not going to build like a bunch of lounges and pool tables and couches in double A ball. Like, you know what I mean? No. You get that when you get to the big leagues. Basically, you get a wooden bench with a nail in it and you like it. And you hang your jersey with a nail. There's your coat rack. Hey, hang your stuff on the nail. All right? Like, it's not supposed to be comfortable, and it's not supposed to be all that big. And, you know, pre-pandemic, you never really thought about it, but if you look at some of these locker rooms, they're not very big. And it's a problem when you get a bunch of pretty big dudes in these rooms. So that's the biggest problem with Buffalo right now. It's not as if, though, because I know a lot of people are like, man, they really don't want to go to Buffalo. And they would go to Buffalo. They have control of the stadium. The Blue Jays AAA facility is in Buffalo. The problem is it does not meet Major League Baseball standards under the coronavirus. They quite simply could not distance enough in that stadium. Now, I imagine you know, I'd be knocking down walls and stuff if we had to. Like, you got to imagine it can figure it out somehow how to create enough space there for everybody. It appears as if, though, right now, Pittsburgh is going to be the place. And it's incredibly strange, but, yeah, the Toronto Blue Jays would play their home games in Pittsburgh at PNC. And basically the Pirates, the mayor, everybody involved are all on board with this because they'd make money from this, right? It's not like, you know what I mean, they're going to give the stadium for free. So, number one, the Blue Jays would pay them. It would help the economy because the Blue Jay players would all be staying at a local hotel. There's a hotel right across the street from PNC. So, basically, they're already lining it up. The Blue Jay players can live in the hotel. They won't be under quarantine. They can walk around the city. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. Coronavirus isn't running rampant there. The city of Pittsburgh is on board because of all the hotel rooms. And, you know, listen, that's the Blue Jays staying in the hotels. And it's also the visiting teams are going to be going there. And as far as scheduling conflict is concerned, I believe it's only five times that they play the same time at home. So there really wouldn't be all that much adjusting to do. It's not an ideal situation for the Toronto Blue Jays. And I tell you what, I like the Blue Jays. We're going to talk Major League Baseball futures on the program tonight. I like the Blue Jays. I think the Blue Jays are being undervalued. I think they're being underestimated. They've got a ton of young players. They've got a better pitching staff. They've got a much improved pitching staff. But the problem is they don't know where the hell they're going to be playing. And that's kind of it. It's like, oh, yeah, by the way, where are they playing? Now, it's not – there wasn't going to be fans anyways. So it's not as if, though, like they're losing some big home field advantage. But at the same point in time, they really are. Right. Like, I know a lot of people think like athletes are prima donnas and, you know, because they don't like living in hotels for months at a time. But I've lived in hotels at months at a time. And, you know, it's OK for a little while, but you're asking the Blue Jays right now, basically, to live in hotels on the road, live in a hotel in Pittsburgh. They wanted them to live in a bubble under quarantine guidelines in the stadium. They wouldn't have been able to leave the stadium. Like, there really is no good options right now. Now, the Blue Jay organization spent a lot of money, actually, refurbishing the clubhouse in Florida, in Dundee, in Florida, where the Blue Jays' spring training facility is. And the expectation was, that was the plan. Like, all right, we're not going to play in Toronto. We're just going to, you know, and it seemed to make sense. All right, we'll play at our spring training facility. But with Florida being as rampant as it is right now with coronavirus, the Blue Jay players don't want to go to Florida. They voted. They said, we're not going to Florida, like point blank. There's no way in hell we're going to Florida. So Buffalo Stadium, although the mayor of Buffalo earlier today, basically stated they're going to do whatever they need to do to get the stadium ready and up to Major League Baseball standards. To me, if I'm the Blue Jays, I would play in Buffalo. Coronavirus is not a big problem in Buffalo. You'll get treated extremely well in Buffalo. Like, look at how the Buffalo Bills are treated. The Blue Jay players will get treated great by, like, the locals and local restaurants, etc. A lot of the Blue Jay players already played in Buffalo. The Blue Jays have a ton of young players that'll be, you know, they already know the stadium. They know the city, etc. I think that they're better off playing in Buffalo than they are in Baltimore or Pittsburgh. Drew Martin Betts is going to step up and from Las Vegas. We're going to get into some future props, baseball. Jason Tackerfin's going to join us next. We'll get into the stadium situation. We'll also talk some props with Jason, a real general manager. We'll get a baseball man's thoughts on these props. Sports Rage Late Night, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due! He's spinning the ball on his finger! Just take it! Take the ball! That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Sports Rage Late Night. I am Renzi. Vent your rage. 844-843-6879. The Monday night meltdown. The countdown continues as we've been using a hashtag a lot over the last week and a half or so. MLS is back. MLB is back, and I thought that hashtag would come alive, and it has. We'll take credit for that, but it has. Hashtag MLB is back, and people are already enjoying these exhibition games, and I see fans are already talking smack about their favorite teams, so it's great stuff. Let's bring in a man who was a longtime general manager in the minor leagues with the Vancouver Canadiens, won a couple of championships over the years as well. Look forward to his thoughts on the stadium issues and as well as some of these props that are posted on the board over at FanDuel. Jason Tackerfin steps up and in. Tack, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing tonight? Do we not have Jason Tackerfin? All right, we'll get Jason lined up. I think we might have him in 3, 2, 1. Oh, and we were off to such a great start. That's definitely like, speaking of baseball, that's like a double. That's like,
Steve, how are you, man?
That's like a double. We started off the season. What's going on, Jason? No? All right. Well, if you guys can, we'll try to get Jason on the line. Off to a great start here this evening on Monday. I wish we needed Jeopardy music right now. Or maybe Pearl Jam, Evenflow. Evenflow, used to calm me down in situations like this. Evenflow. I actually heard Jason briefly for a second, so I knew he was sort of there, and then he's not there, and then he's not there. But baseball will be here as the baseball season starts in less than 72 hours. And I asked you guys on Twitter, who are your best bets, your future best bets? I look forward to getting into this with Jason, actually. Some interesting numbers that I could give you the win totals, for the pitchers, for teams, et cetera. It's very deceptive, guys, in a 60-game season, right? Like, you don't realize how many wins it really is. Some of these teams have to get for you to get there for your win totals. And, this is something that we're going to get into here. Like, 20 home runs is the home run prop, guys. And, you hear 20 home runs and it sounds Sounds very doable. In today's day and age of Major League Baseball, the juice ball, small parks, bad pitching, offensively, you know, everything is offensively influenced nowadays. You know, the fact is, though, in the last 3 years, it's only happened four times that somebody has hit 20 or more home runs in the first 60 games. So, you know, like a lot of these numbers are extremely sharp, and it's amazing when you see, actually, when you correlate, all right, how many wins do they really need? Like the Dodgers' win total is 37.5. Now you figure, I assume the Dodgers are going to win 40-plus games. Yet you put it in, you know, in context, that's like the equivalent of 101 wins for the Dodgers, for them to go over the number. There's not a lot of room for error. Not a lot of room for error. And, you know, the 20 home runs, you know, 20, it seems like, oh, yeah, somebody's going to hit 20 home runs. All right, I believe, do we have Jason now? I've been told that we
do. All right, we do. We're back. We're back in the box. We're back in the box.
What's going on, Jason? How you doing? What happened? You get hit by a pitch? Like, you get hit by a foul ball?
Well, listen, this baseball season's a mess, so it only makes sense that I wouldn't get on right off the bat, right?
I guess that's fair. Yeah, I guess that's fair. All right. Well, better late than never. So, listen, we'll get right down to business. You spent like years in minor league stadiums, and I think some people hear the Blue Jays talking about, well, we got to play in a major league stadium. And I think some people immediately sort of think, wow, they're prima donnas and it's only 30 games. What, you can't suck it up and play at a AAA park, you know, like, well, yeah, you guys are a bunch of, you know, stars, et cetera now. But the fact of the matter is, it's basically the clubhouses. And, you know, so I want you to explain to people. So especially now, you know, in this corona period, they need more space and distance. And quite frankly, minor league stadiums can't provide the space and size that they need. Not to mention, you know, minor league, and I was bringing it up earlier, I thought you would get a kick and you could attest to this, that minor league clubhouses aren't supposed to be nice, right, Jason? Like, you're not supposed to stay there.
Right.
It's almost like the drunk tent, like with the bench that's like you can't sleep on it. Yeah. They don't want you being comfortable in the minor league stadium. You're trying to play your ass out of there, right?
Yeah, it's come a long way from Bull Durham. Buffalo's got a nice stadium. But I think you're bang on when it comes to training and the medical facilities, the hot tub, cold tub. It's just not a major league facility. And I think when it comes down to it, there's a few parallel thought processes that are going to the Blue Jays. One, the coaching staff is telling the players, look, control what you can control. Do not worry what we're going to play. Get your head in the game. Doesn't matter. We can't control where we're going to play in Baltimore or Pittsburgh or Buffalo or New York. Doesn't matter. The second one is Major League Baseball wants to figure out they need to get a facility that is up to snuff. And I personally think they're going to play in Pittsburgh because I think it lines up perfectly. It's on the East Coast. And like you mentioned, the facilities just aren't there. And when you throw in the COVID and you throw in just the resources to be able to properly get that place clean and socially distanced, a AAA ballpark just does not have the Major League Baseball Union seal of approval. And that's another big thing, is they're going to be able to need to say, this is a safe place for us to play in. Pittsburgh also, like you said, they're going to make a little bit of money off this. They'll probably do Major League Baseball a solid. Maybe they'll, you know, get an All-Star game down the road because of it. This makes sense for both ball clubs to do this.
Yeah, it does. And you know, you look at the economic impact, and as we know, as we saw firsthand, you know, with the Montreal Expos. Even, you know, if there's not fans, guys, you know, a Major League Baseball operation, it'll be a little bit smaller than it normally would be, a traveling party, but it's still going to be like 50 people, guys, right? It's still going to be like 50, 60 people.
They want them ordering food with room service, especially that's because economies, you know, Pittsburgh's got probably the nicest ballpark in baseball, and they're not getting the travel and the tourism because of that ballpark this year. So if they can have another 30 or 35 nights, whatever that turns into, of highly paid individuals, specifically super highly paid individuals staying there, I think that helps. It's a small thing, but it's a thing, and it's a big thing because the small thing ends up being a big thing because they don't have any other big thing, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, it costs generally like $75,000 just to turn the lights on. So they'll be getting a nice, they're not paying for that, right? So exactly, baseball and the Blue Jays.
It's not a bazaar.
Give them a nice
it's
check.
It's not a charity.
Yeah, and then, you know, the local revenue gets a nice spike as well.
It's good, so long as they're on their best behavior and social distance, which I think they will be. There's no reason why they shouldn't. And you know what? Pittsburgh, in the last couple of years, it has not been a hitter's ballpark. They're the fourth best hitter's ballpark for doubles. And the Blue Jays have some power, and they can probably turn those doubles into home runs. So if all the ballparks, they would probably want to go to Pittsburgh because those guys, especially with the power the Blue Jays showed last year in the second half, I think they had a 762 OPS in the second half last year, 806 in August. Like, that's a powerful lineup, and they're bringing back more or less the same exact guys. Like, they finished really strong last year, so going to a smaller ballpark, that's really going to help them and help those hitters continue to mash.
I think, too, and it's very reminiscent of the Expos playing in Puerto Rico, isn't it? Yeah, it's what it reminds me of, actually, is when the Expos did play in Puerto Rico. They didn't like it. They played like 23 games there, but the Expo players were basically bought off with extra money. They basically got like an extra like $3,000 a day or something, and there was a casino attached to the hotel, so they liked it. They lived with it once they were there.
Yeah.
I'll never
Frank
forget,
Robinson
too, guys.
Wasn't impressed.
Yeah, I'll never forget, guys. It's a true story. So the Expos, you know, Major League Baseball owns them. They're like, all right, we're going to put these guys in Puerto Rico for 23 games. So they play in Puerto Rico. The new, they get back, all right? And somehow they're still sort of like quasi in contention. Not really, but they kind of sort of are. And they get back from Puerto Rico. And there's actually like the media at the airport. There's a couple of fans and stuff. And they're like, oh, we're exhausted. It was so hard. We've got a game tomorrow. It was Thursday. They got back. And they're like, we got to go right home to sleep. But you know what? We're going to do our best. And we're going to play as hard as we can. Later that night, I was at Wanda Strip Club, and all the Expos were there. I'm thinking, were you guys just on the news talking about how tired you were and how you had to go home after this long trip? They left the airport and basically went right to a strip club. And for the record, yeah, I think they lost that Friday night game the following night. They used to say there was a Shea Parade curse, but I think there really was a Wanda's curse as well. But hold that thought, Jason. We'll hit this on the other side. I want to throw some of these props at you. If you think anyone's going to be able to hit 400 in a 60-game season, 20 home runs. How many games can a team win in this format? Jason Tackerfin, longtime general manager of the Vancouver Canadiens, kicking with us. Drew Martin, best to step up and in from Vegas. Sports Rage Late Night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night, fastest 120 minutes in sports continues. I'm Renzi, Jason Tackerfin, a.k.a. Tack, kicking it with us right now. Longtime general manager of the Vancouver Canadiens, minor league baseball team affiliate of the A's and Blue Jays. So let's get into some of these numbers right now. FanDuel's done a great job posting some of these interesting props that baseball people are wondering if, you know, what are the numbers are going to be? What are the stats going to look like this year? And so 20 home runs, Jason, is the number that's been set. 20 home runs in 60 games. And you know, it's amazing. Last year, 129 players hit 20 or more home runs. I remember when 20 home runs used to kind of be somewhat of a big deal. And now, you know, you're sort of expected to hit 20 home runs if you want to stay on the field right now. But only four players, dude, in the last 3 years have hit 20 or more home runs in the first 60 games. What do you think happens this year? Do you think somebody's going to hit 20 or more home runs? Maybe a Bellinger. Aaron Judge seems to be killing it right now if he can stay healthy. What do you think about the 20 home run prop?
I think it's going to happen. I don't think you can look at the first 60 games in comparison to these 60 games because there's a cold weather with the first 60 games. Traditionally, players usually use the first month to get warm, especially some of the Latin players that don't grow up in the cold. You know, Edwin Encarnacion, for example, Manny Ramirez always used to kind of take a little bit longer to get warmed up. This year, it's different. They're going right into the heat. They're getting right into they're sort of chomping at the bit. I think Mike Trout, when you insert an Anthony Rendon into that lineup as protection, he'll do it. And Cody Bellinger, insert Mookie Betts into that already stacked lineup. I think they're both going to do it. I think actually all four of them could do it. But if I had to put my money on it, I'm going Trout and I'm going Bellinger.
It seems as if, though, that, yeah, like basically every, like, I don't know, like fifth at bat, Bellinger seems to hit a home run, right?
And but now he's getting Betts. And Betts is such a different animal because Betts is not just a great player. He's a historically great player, and he's in the prime of his career, and he's probably really mad that he didn't get the money from the Red Sox, and maybe he's even mad at himself that COVID probably took away a couple $100 million from his salary that he's about to make. I think this guy's a perfect fit in L.A. I think they're going to love his defense. They're going to love his hustle. And, again, I'm really old school when it comes to lineup protection. I really believe in it more so than the advanced stats say. I think in any working position and any even white-collar jobs, you work better when the person next to you have confidence in. And when Bellinger can look at Betts in that lineup next to him, same thing with Rendon and Trout. Trout's never had anyone like Anthony Rendon, even when they had Albert Pujols. He's never been like Anthony Rendon. I believe in those two guys.
Not to mention, too, imagine trying to get a ball to drop in between right and center right now, between Bellinger and Betts out there. These guys are going to cover a lot of ground. Lot of ground with Bellinger moving to center field right now. So 50 home runs, guys, is 19 home runs. So to get to 20, you're looking at basically 51 home runs. And that's what it would be in 162 game season. So the elusive 400 really wouldn't be the same. Let's just be real. It's not going to be the same if somebody hits 400 in a 60 game stretch as opposed to 162 games. I don't think this record will ever be broken. I don't think anybody, like, it's such a power game. We talk about it. It's such a power game right now. There's no more Tony Gwynn's. There's no more Ichiro's. Tony Gwynn, I can't believe I retweeted something tonight. Tony Gwynn, a career batting average of .338. They said, the tweet said, imagine Tony Gwynn went 5-for-15 in a series and his batting average would drop. That's how good he was. But everybody is so power-driven right now. But with that being stated, Jason, if there's ever a chance for someone to hit 400, it would be in this 60-game season, wouldn't it? Or is it just sheerly impossible nowadays?
Guys don't swing the bat. So I would take the under because you don't get those bloop hits anymore. You don't get those singles. Guys aren't swinging for that. They're swinging to get over a shift. They're swinging to hit the ball 450 or they're taking a walk. So that's why I think it's going to be really difficult. I mean, Tim Anderson won the AL batting title last year. I think he was hitting .335. Like, that's amazing, but that's nowhere near 400, right? Like that's not even close. I would take the under. It will take a next generation of ball players to hit 400, unless Mike Trout just pulls a Barry Bonds and just decides like I'm just not gonna swing at anything, right? Or maybe like if a Joey Votto would go to Boston, where he doesn't foul off many balls and he has a great eye and he can just really become efficient with his swinging. But even then, it's so hard because even you can have an amazing career at 330, 340. An amazing year, and 400 is just so unattainable.
Yeah, it's almost like golf, isn't it? It's like trying to crack that 59, even on like an easy course. Like there's certain numbers that it's just you just can't quite get to. Now, I wanted to ask you, how do you think they handle the pitching? How many innings are pitchers going to go? I don't think they're going to go that deep. I mean, like, you know, it's in today's day and age. I mean, remember in the old days, people, like, if a big free agent pitcher would go five innings, you know, people would kind of roll their eyes and be like, really? All right, he got us five. And, you know, it would basically be like, well, he just wants to get that W. Nowadays, you're a hero. You in the playoffs, you go five innings, you get a standing ovation, Jason. Hell, you go four good innings, three good innings today, and people are like, good job, buddy, right? Like, we're in a new era right now. I can't imagine, like, are pitchers going to get into the seventh inning, or will they ramp that up as the season goes on? Are they going to hold them back earlier? How do you think the pitching is going to hold out here this year? What do you think the approach is going to be?
I think the top 50, I think the top 5%, the Groms of the world, the Verlanders, the Coles, the Scherzers, you don't look at them until the seventh inning. Like, they don't, you know, like John Smoltz used to, like, not even look at Bobby Cox until, like, the seventh inning. Same, like, those are different animals. You know, Strasburg, you can throw in there. Like, those are different animals. Marcus Stroman's even like that. He's very locked in. Those guys, you don't pitch count those guys. Those guys are your 7-8 inning guys. And if anything, in a shortened season, 60 games in 66 days, you're going to need those guys to rest the bullpen. Those guys will be probably counted on more to provide some bullpen relief. Let's say, like, what CeCe Sabathia did when he first came to the Yankees. I think there was a 3-month stretch in 2008 where he pitched 7-plus innings. That is unbelievable. Garrett Cole can do that and rest the bullpen, especially until Chapman comes back. That's unquantifiable how big that is for that team.
What's your take on the Houston Astros? They're an interesting team to me. A lot of people sort of, I don't know, I think they falsely believe that, you know, they're going to be affected or something now that they're not banging on garbage cans, and that, you know, Altuve can't hit and Bregman can't hit and Correa, et cetera. You know, did Zach Greinke forget how to pitch suddenly? Did Verlander forget how to pitch? I get it. It's a nice narrative that people might want to say, well, now that they're not cheating, we'll see what happens. But the fact is, they were really in the depths of that stuff a couple of years ago. And I think they're actually going to have a chip on their shoulder. I think, like, the little apology tour is over. And in fact, I think they want to show people, you know what? Look, there's no fans. You can hear. Are we cheating? And I think Bregman's going to want to smash the ball. I can just see the Astros talking smack. Are we cheating now when we just beat you 11-1? Like, I think the Astros have a chip on their shoulder, bro. What's your take on the Astros?
I know. I think I'm never a big fan of teams that just lose a starting pitcher, right? Like, you just you lost Garrett Cole, poof, didn't replace him with anyone. Same thing, by the way, with the Nationals, like losing Rendon. That's why I would stay away from them. Like, it's very difficult to replace an MVP caliber, Cy Young caliber player. With the Astros, that said, the chip on the shoulder plus Dusty Baker, who you know is going to push all the right buttons emotionally and make sure that these guys are sort of rabid and they don't forget about the cheating stuff. Like, they don't forget what people say.
He was the perfect hire.
I think that can compensate. Yeah. Perfect hire. Because he's got a little FU to him. He's got a little bit to prove also. And and I think the Astros have a lot. I think the Astros have a lot to prove. And I think that's a team. They're going to look like the 2007 Patriots in some games. So they're just going to pile it on as a punishment for the league thinking that they cheated, like in Spygate. Remember when the Patriots used to just put it on? I think they beat Titans like 52-0. You're going to see a lot of Astros games where it's going to be 8-1 in the eighth inning, and they're just going to say, F it, and let's put up another 9.
And I mean, that's just, why they were such
jerks. And they're
going to
take it out on players.
Before, in which there was a game actually against the Blue Jays. They were winning like 9-3 or something like that, and they were still banging on the garbage cans. And they racked it up. They won like 16-3 or something like that. Thing is, a couple of dudes got sent down, never pitched in the majors again after. It's like, guys, yeah, do you really have to do it all the time? Are you that obsessed? Is it, you know, are you really? You know, it is what it is. You know, they weren't the only ones. They were just sort of like, yeah, a little over the top with it. But I'm just stating, like, people sort of just seem to think that the Astros aren't there. Everyone's talking about the Yankees all the time right now. And you talked about, listen, the Nationals are an interesting team. On one hand, you look, if Strasburg and Scherzer make all 12 starts, 60 games every five. So they're projected for 12 starts each. Yeah. So 24 starts out of 60 games. Those two are tough to beat, right? But do they have enough offense without Rendon now? A lot of pressure on the kid, 20-year-old, 21-year-old now in Soto. A lot of pressure on that kid to carry that offense right now. but they're still going to be a tough team. I'm telling you, when I look at that division, I keep coming back to the Phillies. I think the Phillies are going to be a dangerous team this year. I think that Bryce Harper is going to be stupid crazy and put, like, big numbers up.
So I actually, with my investment partner, we're thinking about taking the Phillies to win it all, for the because I think Girardi's got a whole lot of FU. Bryce Harper's got a whole lot of FU, and I think Girardi is going to want to stick it to the Yankees. And I think he can manage and manipulate a bullpen in an 80-game season, including playoffs. And I think Harper's just going to go absolutely bananas. But it's interesting you mentioned the Nationals, because if you look at some of the props of an over-under of 17.5 stolen bases, I think Trey Turner is going to exceed that. Because without a hammer like Rendon there, he's going to need to play small ball. And he's going to need to be that little water bug on bases, batting first and just having to manufacture runs. Because, like you said, they also have those horses. They have Corbin and they have Anibal Sanchez also. Those four guys, now we're talking 48 starts. There's going to be a lot of one-run games there, right? And they're going to need – Trey Turner's going to have to be very aggressive. And I think he's going to. So I would take the over on the stolen base just for that reason.
17.5, so, sort of a lost art right now. And listen, Acuna could also steal 17.5 bases. Nearly joined that 40-40 club last year. An explosive kid. It's also in the mix. Jason, it's always great talking baseball with you. It was great to finally get you in a batter's box. Time always flies by when you're on, bro. But now that baseball's back, we'll definitely be keeping in contact with you. Great stuff as always, my man.
This was great. Thanks, kid. Have a great night.
There's Jason Takafin with us. Man, we could talk baseball all night with Jason. Drew Martin Betts going to step up and in from Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll get into what your guys' best bets are. We'll go through some of the numbers, some of the teams. We'll go through the division odds. Now's the time, guys. If you're playing, listen, you guys know me, man. I'm not usually Johnny Future Bet because I'm incredibly impatient. You guys know. All right. I have the patience of like a bird. All right. Like I don't have any patience. But in a 60-game season, even I can get down with laying it down on a bunch of these Major League Baseball props. Sports Rage Late Night continues right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. Thanks to Jason Takafin for taking it with us on the program. Time always flies by when he's on the show. Well, this time flies by, quick every night on this show, doesn't it? Drew Martin Betts going to join us from Las Vegas at Nevada. So we asked you guys on Twitter, what are your favorite Major League Baseball future bets this year? We've got a lot of responses coming in. Our main man, Hickey, who we actually met watching the UFC a couple of weeks ago in Vancouver. Class act. Hickey says the Toronto Blue Jays to win the American League East at +2200 seems like free money in a 60-game season. Now, listen, I think that it's a decent play. I think that you could argue there's a little bit of value with the Toronto Blue Jays to be a sleeper. Although, yeah, the term free money I'm not a fan of, especially when you're talking about a 22-1 shot here. There's nothing free about it. Especially when they don't even know where they're going to be playing. All right, so the Jays are 22-1. I can't argue that. Sean Higgs steps up in it. What's up, Sean Higgs? I think Sean Higgs is in Vegas. I'm not sure, but I think he is. He's taking the Detroit Tigers over 21.5 wins. Marlins over 24.5. Yankees under 37.5. Dodgers under. And the White Sox to win the Central. All right, we see you, Sean. We see where you're going with this. This is what you call you're buying stock low and you're selling high. You're taking the Detroit. Nobody believes in the Detroit Tigers. You know what? I like the Tigers over 21.5 better than I like Baltimore to go over 20.5. I'll tell you that. Baltimore might be lucky to win 13 games this year. I know what you're doing with this. I totally get it. You know, winning 38 baseball games, that's like winning 101 games. It's teams don't often go 38 and 22 in their first 60 games. So we've got a ton of your futures and props that you're firing off at us. Hey, listen, if you've got some good ones, we're open to playing them. And I like where you're going with this. I think the Marlins are actually going to be better than people think, but the division that they play in isn't easy. And the Marlins' schedule isn't easy. Martin Betts going to step up, and then you can too. Bring it.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.